This is Digital Story Podcast number 694, July 2nd, 2019. Today's theme is, are your cloud storage costs out of control? I'm Derek Story. I had just completed a job in Adobe Lightroom when this notice flashed on my screen. You've used your 20 gigabytes of storage. Would you like to upgrade your plan? Where have I seen that before? Oh yeah, with every other service that I'm currently using. Then it dawned on me, how much am I spending for online storage? The answer is the topic of today's TDS Photography Podcast. So I don't know if this happens to you or not, but I have these things bounce around in the back of my head, because I guess the front of my head is very busy trying to survive. So I have these things bouncing around in the back of my head that I know are there, but I don't necessarily act upon them at the time that, you know, they sort of come across my consciousness. And then there's some sort of tipping point. And once that tipping point happens, I go, oh yeah. And that tipping point forces me not only to look at whatever that thing was that caused me to wake up, snap out of it, but then also all the other related things that were bouncing around in the back of my head. I mention this because I just had one of those moments that I described at the top of the show where Adobe let me know that my Creative Cloud account was full and that they politely asked me if I would like to upgrade in order to, you know, keep adding stuff to their servers wherever they're located. And that got me thinking, okay, yes, there's that Creative Cloud thing. That is what got the ball rolling. Now, let me back up a little bit on the Adobe Lightroom thing, because a lot of you use Lightroom and probably will be able to relate to this one thing. And actually, you'll probably be able to relate to a lot of the other things as well. We'll start with the photography plan from Adobe. So as almost everybody in the photography world knows, that for basically $10 a month, I can get Adobe Lightroom, and I can get Photoshop, and I can get 20 gigs of storage on Adobe Creative Cloud servers. And, you know, for the most part, that 20 gigs is just fine. I'll tell you where I run out of headroom, because this isn't my everyday workflow. Photoshop Lightroom isn't my, you know, what I do for all of my stuff. When I use Lightroom the most, well, actually, there are two instances. One instance is when I'm testing a new camera, which I've been doing a fair amount of lately. Adobe is really good about having raw profiles for new cameras faster than everyone else. So in the case of the Panasonic Lumix G95 that I just talked about last week, well, guess where I could get those raw files decoded? Yes, Lightroom. Lightroom could do that. So I'm shooting with this camera for a month, right? And those raw files really start to add up. I mean, when you think about it, 20 gigabytes is not that much. And so I topped off my Lightroom plan just testing that one camera. Now, of course, those shots were important to me. I don't want to lose them. So I have a bit of a plan. I topped out the 20 gigs, and there's no way that I'm going to up my plan. And I'll talk more about, you know, what my options were. I'm not going to spend more money. I know that. I save all the cards that I'm shooting with while I'm using Lightroom. And I'm able to, you know, move those images over to my other disk drives, so that when my other applications, when my normal applications can decode those raw files, I still have all that content there. So I don't lose any of the master images. And then the work that I do in Lightroom, because I do edit and I do all that sort of stuff, I use the application. But the images that are three-star images that I edit, then I export those out at full resolution out of Lightroom. And then they go into my other applications, either Photos or Capture One, where I continue to use them. And I'm in those applications all the time, and that's where all my other shots are. So I don't lose any of the work that I do because, as you know, if you've listened to me before, I only do post-processing on images that are rated at 3 stars or higher. So if I have 500 images in there, I've probably only edited about 60 or 70 of them. Those 60 or 70 are exported out and put into other things. Now, you're going, well, why would I do such a weird process? I do that because I don't want to keep upping my storage requirements for, you know, all these plans, right? So I just, for instance, with Adobe, I draw the line at 20 gigabytes. This was useful in the sense that it really got me thinking about how much am I spending on cloud storage. I had a sense that that number was relatively high. So here we go. Let me just, you know, march you through my cloud storage costs. Now, this isn't including, you know, my Squarespace or my TDS site, you know, internet costs or mobile phone costs or any of that. So none of that other stuff. We're just talking about cloud storage right now. And some of these plans, of course, have other benefits, starting with the Adobe Photography plan, which is $120 a year for me. That includes 20 gigabytes of storage plus access to Lightroom and Photoshop. Now, if I wanted to, I could upgrade to a 1 terabyte plan for $240 a year. So I could, you know, double my costs to 240 and get a lot more storage, 1 terabyte. And terabytes are, you know, the magic number in this game right now. And I could get a $60 discount for the first year. And in other words, when you first go to that upgrade page on Adobe, at least when I do, they go, yes, you can upgrade for basically $15 a month instead of $10 a month. And then, you know, you read the fine print and that's for the first year. Then after that, it's $20 a month for that 1 terabyte plan. I'm not doing that. I mean, I'm drawing the line in a couple places, and this is one of the areas. I really like Lightroom. For the things that I need it for, it's fantastic. And, you know, working on my iPad when I'm traveling, and, you know, testing new camera raw profiles that aren't anywhere else, and things like that, I love it. But I don't love it so much where I'm just going to start increasing my costs with it. I'm drawing the line at $10 a month right there. So right now that sits at $120, and I can live with that. My next line item is another $120 charge, and this is from Apple for my Apple iCloud plan. And that plan includes 2 terabytes of storage, and that's for my photos that are in Photos for macOS and Photos for iOS, and a whole bunch of other files, because, you know, with the Apple storage plan, it's not just limited to my images. I can basically store anything that's in my Apple ecosystem in this iCloud account. Now, for the longest time, I was able to get by with the $3 a month plan, which is $36 a year. And finally, you know, because I dump so much into my Photos for macOS now, just because it propagates it across all my devices. And, you know, I really love the new iPad mini. I just published a review, by the way, the iPad mini 5. And, you know, I like my iPhone, I like my Macs. And so it just made sense for me to upgrade that plan, since I can dump everything into it. I have lots of headroom there now, so I'm okay with that $120 a year. Like I said, I finally had to upgrade from the $299 a month to basically $10 a month, or $999. I think that one's going to stick around. Now, the next one I'm debating about, however, I think it is going to stay, and it's another $120 a year, and that's for my Dropbox plan. And they just raised their rates. It was, I believe, what, $98 a year or something like that for kind of what they called the Pro plan. And when I renew later this month, it's going to be $120. So, you know, they raised it $20 or so, but they doubled my storage space. I now have 2 terabytes on Dropbox. And I don't know how Dropbox is for you or if you even use it, but Dropbox is one of those odd things. Like, I always feel like I should be using it more or leveraging it more than I do. How I end up using it most of the time is that I have certain clients who just want the images in a shared file on Dropbox. they don't want them any other way. I mean, I have all these other cool ways. I'm going to talk about another cool way here in a minute. And they just want them as a shared folder in Dropbox. That's the way it is. And so in order for me to do that, I have to have some sort of plan where I have headroom, because sometimes they want raw files in there as well as, you know, the JPEGs or the finished files. So that is a client-driven thing. I have to say I like Dropbox. I think it's really smart, and I love the way it integrates for me as a Mac user with, you know, the Mac OS. I can get to it through all my devices. I mean, they've really done a good job with the technology of Dropbox. But now that I've upped iCloud, it really could handle everything if I didn't have these clients who insisted that I use Dropbox. So one of the things that I could do is explore other ways to get those files to clients and then save that $120 a year and use iCloud, which also has 2 terabytes of storage, you know, for all the stuff I'm dropping in Dropbox right now. So that's one that I'm still trying to figure out. I have until mid-July before I renew. So it's like top on my list to get to the bottom of this. Okay. So Dropbox right now is going to be $120 a year when I renew, if I renew. By the way, if I don't renew, what happens? Well, then I go back to essentially my free account, which did have some perks in it because I brought some folks in and all that. But it'll drop me back to something really small, like 8 or 9 gigabytes. It's pretty low. So it could be used for some casual sharing, but definitely not robust. All right, my next one. And, you know, these next three are definitely, because I'm in the photography business, driven. $49 a year for Flickr Pro. Flickr Pro is here because it has unlimited photo storage when you have the Pro plan. So that means that I can just dump as many images as I want in there. Now, I don't use Flickr that way. That's the funny part. What I use Flickr for, and what I really love Flickr for, is I like putting images on Flickr and then embedding them in other sites because I like the way Flickr renders shots. And, you know, they render them much better than my native shots on the digital story. So, for instance, you may have noticed if you read a digital story article, if I'm just putting a shot of a camera or some illustration in there, I'll just go ahead and embed it right in the digital story post. However, if I'm talking about the image quality of something, or if I want the picture to look really good, what I do is I post it on Flickr first, and then I get the embed code from Flickr, and I put that embed code in the blog post. And then what I get is a really nice looking image, because Flickr does a great job of rendering shots on all devices. And it's much higher quality than the back end that I have for the digital story. So Flickr is fantastic for that. So even though I'm not using it per se as storage, it's nice to know that I don't have to think about how many shots I put in there, or if I wanted to, I could have it back up my camera roll. I could do all sorts of stuff. However, I don't need it to back up my camera roll because I have 2 terabytes on Apple iCloud that seems to be doing just fine. So Flickr is one of those that lives in limbo. I probably don't have it for the photo storage, even though it's unlimited. I probably have it more for this function I'm talking about and for ad-free browsing and all the other Flickr services. So it's probably going to stick around. I've stuck with it this long. I don't see me changing now. Another one I have is also photo-driven, which is my SmugMug account, which is $72 a year. Now, again, I don't even know what the storage limitations are for SmugMug. I just know that whenever I put photos there, it takes them and it seems fine with it, and it's never really given me any grief about it. And again, this is client-driven because I have clients who love SmugMug galleries for the images. They like the way they look. They like having a URL they can share. I like it because I can lock it down. I can password protect it if I need to, so that especially clients, when I do a shoot, that aren't supposed to see the day of light other than for the clients themselves, you know, all that kind of stuff. So SmugMug gives me all of those features that I need for certain clients. Again, I don't really have it for the storage per se, although I have a bunch of images. I mean, because I've been using it for so long, I have tons of galleries stored on there, and I never have to think about it, but it's also kind of the service. So it's in the gray zone along with Flickr Pro, and $72 a year, again, ouch when I have to pay it, but then I sort of forget about it and I just, you know, keep using it. And then my last one on this list is also my newest one, which is Portfolio Box Pro. Now, you may have heard a little bit about Portfolio Box Pro from me on this podcast, because they have been a sponsor for many months, off and on. And it's a service that I truly love. And it's $83 a year. Yes, I go ahead and ante up. And there I can store 1,000 images and unlimited pages. So again, it's in that gray area where it's actually more of a service than storage, but it's nice being able to store stuff there. And it is, I think, the nicest place to show off my work. So that is my list of stuff. Some of it's gray area, some of it is pure storage. You add those up, and it's $564 a year, breaking down to $47 a month. Now, that's just, again, for storage with some services. That doesn't get into internet fees, to, you know, website administration, none of that stuff. I have, fees for all that other stuff as well. This is just basically for storage and then related services to that storage. So on one hand, I look at this $564 a year and I go, wow, that feels like a lot. And then on the other hand, I go, $47 a month to store all of this stuff and not have to think about it seems, okay, not horrible. I mean, it's $47 a month is basically less than almost every other bill that I have for this business, right? And all my other bills are a lot more. You know, some of them are a lot more. But I mean, even my energy for running the studio is a tad more than that. So what do you think about this? I mean, when you look at your stuff, how many of these plans do you have? And then how many in addition to these do you have? And have you actually sat down and thought about, okay, I'm going to get all my stuff in one area here and, you know, tighten this up, make a decision, and save myself some money. The point of all of this isn't to just rattle off a bunch of numbers for you, but it's one of these things that can just really creep up on you, and your cloud storage is important. First of all, I want to say that it's important to have your images backed up and protected, and I think some redundancy is actually important in case something happens with a service. You know, I like having redundancy with other services as well. So job one is to make sure that your images are protected and backed up. But then as you have time, you may want to take a look at the various plans that you're maintaining and see if there's any way that you could save yourself a few bucks a month. Upcoming Nimble interview, filmmaker Joanna James. So I have another Nimble Photographer podcast just about ready to go up. I think I'm going to publish it around Thursday this week. And it's Joanna James, who's a filmmaker, an independent filmmaker, who directed the movie A Fine Line. And Fine Line was originally inspired by her mom. And she's really talking about how, you know, women have dominated the kitchen scene for decades, but yet when it comes to professional level, you know, chefs and restaurant owners, that women are a very small percentage of that group, and, you know, what's going on there. But what I also like about the interview, in addition to her discussion about that, is that she takes us behind the scenes of independent filmmaking. She's really interesting. She has a lot of good knowledge to share. And it's an interview that you certainly do not want to miss. So look for it later this week. Now, my advice is to make sure that you don't miss any of the podcasts, right? Because I have another great one coming up after that. I have Shelby Nix, who's a professional motorsports and lifestyle photographer. She has an interesting story. I have some thoughts from Rick Salmon coming up. I mean, I've been working hard on this project, and I have great content. So to make sure that you don't miss any of these shows, I recommend that you subscribe to the Nimble Photographer podcast, and you can do so on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Google Play, or wherever you tune in to your content. And remember, you can always get the latest of what's going on by going to the Nimble Photographer site, thenimblephotographer.com. And there's a link on the digital story that'll take you directly over there as well. And I do put a podcast player with each of those podcasts on the Nimble Photographer site, so you can listen to it right there in your web browser if you wish as well. Even though we're photographers, there's much to learn from artists who excel at these other disciplines, and I have learned a tremendous amount just in the short time I've been doing this series. Plus, these people are very interesting and very entertaining. How mirrorless cameras are changing the game for photojournalists. This is an article that I nabbed from F-Stoppers, but it's been all over the web, so you can catch it just about anywhere. I'm going to read you a couple paragraphs first, and then I'll have a few comments about it. One of the best features of mirrorless cameras is their ability to shoot totally silent thanks to the lack of a mechanical mirror. That feature turned out to be a great boon to a photojournalist at the recent Democratic debate, allowing him to shoot in a position where others could not. The Sony A9 is known for its electronic shutter with fast readout and no viewfinder blackout, which allows photographers to shoot in complete silence. For New York Times photographer Doug Mills, that became a great advantage at the recent Democratic debate. It turns out that the sound of the DSLRs used by other photojournalists was picked up by broadcast microphones, leading NBC to tell them to only shoot during audience applause. When Mills was brought to the side of the stage for his turn, he was told he couldn't shoot, but he quickly explained that his camera didn't make any noise, leading the NBC tech to remark that such cameras should be the standard for all photojournalists. If you've ever listened to any live political event, you've probably heard the constant clatter of DSLRs, so surely an eventual migration to mirrorless cameras would be beneficial in that sense. Nonetheless, press companies are deeply invested in Canon and Nikon cameras and lenses, so such a change probably won't happen overnight. However, it probably will happen. That last sentence is mine. So I just thought that was very interesting. There's been some cool stories about mirrorless photography lately. There's been some great Micro Four Thirds stories, you know, talking about sensor size and how it's hard to tell the difference. There's been all sorts of good stuff. And this is just another case where I think this mirrorless love is well-deserved, and I thought I would share it with you. The link to the story is in the show notes if you want to go and check it out for yourself. But yet another advantage to mirrorless photography, thanks to New York Times photographer Doug Mills. Do you have a film camera that needs a good home? If you do, I have one for it. You know, over the last year, I've received lots of donations from TDS members who have film cameras that need a good home. They're just languishing in the sock drawer, in the back of the closet. And what I do is I take these cameras, I inspect them, I clean them, I repair them as needed, and then I get them in the film camera shop, which I run on Etsy, the film camera shop, and get them into the hands of photographers who just love these cameras. A lot of times they're students taking college courses. Sometimes they're artists that are coming back to film photography. At any rate, folks just love these cameras that I have in the film camera shop because I bring them back to wonderful working order. With a little bit of love and a little bit of repair, they're ready to shoot many, many rolls of film. If you're interested in donating a camera, use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer site, thenimblephotographer.com. Just use the contact form and let me know what you have, and we'll get it over to me and therefore get it into the hands of someone who would really love to use that camera. Just a little bit of virtual camera club business. First thing I want to let you know is that we're only a couple weeks away from our Sonoma Coast exploration. It's a sold-out workshop. I have been out there scouting and working on this thing. And I tell you, those of you who are signed up, you are going to have a great time. I even got into our house that we're using for headquarters and got to nose around a bit. Oh my gosh. Two decks, three levels, four bathrooms, a luxurious kitchen, a hot tub, overlooking the ocean, the beach down below, walking distance to an amazing hike and photo spot. I mean, this place is the bomb. It is the bomb. If it goes as expected, we'll probably be doing this one again next year. So if you are interested in what you hear about this workshop, then you may want to sign up next year and join us. I think you will have a fantastic time. Also, I want to give a big thanks to our Inner Circle members, those who support this podcast and stand by us, those who invest in not only the digital story, but also the Nimble Photographer and all the other things that we do, and who also, you know, share their camaraderie on our Patreon site, on the Inner Circle site. If you're interested in being an active participant in this endeavor, the digital story, the Nimble Photographer, just click on the tile that's on all the pages of the digital story. Take a look at our Patreon site and join us. Join us. I think you will be very happy and feel very good about your decision. And those who are supporting us right now, thank you so much. Your support is so appreciated. And finally, a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, the folks that make printing paper in just about every surface that one could imagine. It's interesting, when I was doing the scouting last week for the Bodega workshop, the Sonoma Coast Exploration, I was working with a photographer who lives there. His name is John Hershey. He's been a part of our virtual camera club as long as I can remember. He's a great contributor in many ways. John is also probably one of my star photographers when it comes to creating fine art greeting cards and then actually selling them and getting them out there. And one of the things that we did while we're exploring sites is I got to see a number of the shops and locations, including the Visitor Bureau there in Bodega Bay, where his fine art cards are there on display and for sale. And I was just thinking, this is so cool. This is taking this wonderful skill that we've developed, our photography skill, and putting it to good use using Red River paper and Red River envelopes and glassine sleeves and all that good stuff. If you have such an idea or such a place in mind where you can do that sort of thing, I encourage you to click on the tile that's on all the pages of the digital story. That'll take you to our landing page on Red River paper. You can nose around a bit. You can go to the fine art greeting card area and read tutorials and look at all the supplies that are available and think about maybe some of the possibilities for you as well. It could turn out to be a very fulfilling hobby and even turn into a revenue stream. Red River Paper also has a rocking Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. Right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Until then, go out there, take some pictures, take a look at your cloud storage, and then come back and join me next week. Until then, bye-bye now.